B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now Marcus Morris on the wing. Return to Horford straight away. 10 on the shot clock. Back to Morris, left to wing. Everything on the perimeter. 7 on the shot clock. Morris drives in traffic. Kick out in the corner. Hayward open. 3. Got it! Gordon Hayward having a game of his Celtic life tonight in Philadelphia. And Boston leads by 2.
Somebody spank that man. Quit it now!
The game of his Celtics life, said Sean Grandy about Gordon Hayward last night. Celtics win 112-109 on the road against the 76ers. Good win. Good road win.
Good work. Good road win.
Yeah.
Needed that.
After two horrible, horrible losses.
I would call that a must win. You know, it's February basketball game. You look at that game and you think, boy, that Philadelphia team is a bunch of soft, athletic babies, including their head coach. When Al Horford could go in there and out-physical somebody, your giant, you know, one of your so-called superstars, something's wrong with the makeup of your team. They own the Sixers' ass, is what the Celtics do.
You're talking about Joel Embiid?
Yeah.
He led the Sixers in scoring last night.
Sure did. Sure did. What'd that do? Another loss. Get your ass swept so far. 3-0 against that team this year.
They're in their heads.
I'm not worried about them.
They're in their heads.
They sure are.
They're in Philly's head.
I know we'll get to all the stuff with Embiid, too. You hear him after the game. He's all frustrated, blaming the refs, doing this and that. He's got no answer.
So when it comes to last night, Gordon Hayward, a big part of the story, and he's faced plenty of criticisms here in town.
Yep.
We've been critical. We said today when we talked to Brad Stevens, we'll just ask him again that question about minutes for Gordon Hayward. Like, play that guy less. And then what happens? You lose Kyrie last night. You have a short rotation. Oh. And the team all of a sudden sort of comes alive, doing the little things, playing a physical game, rebounding, playing well on the road.
Yep. They looked athletic last night.
They looked like a team that was confident last night. They looked like they were responding. They were having a response last night of sort. At least some of them were.
They had a pulse, which is good.
And here's what the problem is, and we knew this going into the game. This was a catch-22 here. If you lose, but you play well, you say, well, at least they had a response. And they didn't no-show or get embarrassed. And they've got Kyrie out, so wait till Kyrie. No, last night they're without Kyrie, and they have a good win. Like, which way do you go? Is that a good thing or a bad thing for everything that's developed with this team? Like, Kyrie's not there.
He wasn't on the bench.
It feels like Kyrie's not there, and therefore, what? Gordon Hayward has a better game?
So what?
Are they tied together? I don't know. I don't know if they're tied together, but it feels like there's something there that happens to the team when they don't have Kyrie.
It's the only time Gordon Hayward pops is like when somebody's out, whether it's like a Jaylen Brown or it's Kyrie last night. It just seems like that's where he gets into the 20s, the high 20s.
Right, so how do I look at that? How am I supposed to look at that?
I don't know.
Oh, you know, Gordon needs to be the guy. Gordon likes it when he's one of the best players on the floor, and that's when he plays with confidence. Is that what he needs? Because that doesn't say that that's going to be good when Kyrie comes back.
Right.
What does that mean for him? I thought Jason Tatum sort of looked good at times last night. Really good at times.
Dominant.
You know, you look at that and say, are these guys more confident and play a better game and are more comfortable on the court when Kyrie's not around?
It's almost like they feel it's more on them. You know what I mean? It's their spot.
Marcus Smart seemed comfortable, taking a lot of shots down the stretch.
There was a stretch. There was like a stretch of four possessions where whoever touched the ball first was going to shoot. There was no passing going on.
One ball got knocked back over half court, so Marcus Smart, you know, went to retrieve the ball and then brought it up. And, with like, you know, Tatum like alone in the corner, like you could have dished it to him. It's like, no, I got this. Boom.
Ka-tink.
And then, like, the big drive that he has to the basket is a dunk with Embiid standing there with five fouls. Knowing that he couldn't get near him. I love Marcus
Smart.
As if
nobody was there.
I really do. I love Marcus Smart.
Don't shoot.
But, my God, stop shooting the ball so much.
Just go drive the ball, man.
Oh my
He's so
God.
Good when he drives.
You know, he
play
hit more,
defense.
Hold on. You know, he hit more shots than he missed last night.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that.
Jesus, how many days?
He was 7-13. He hit more than he missed.
Yeah, you got that going for him.
Right? Does it feel like he missed more than six shots in that
Wait,
game?
Smart was 2-14, wasn't he? 3-14?
Not 7-13. Yeah. He barely hit a shot.
Oh, you're I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong line. I'm looking at Marcus Morris.
Yeah,
not
Marcus Morris.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Let me check the paper of record here.
So, what, yeah, 3-14 and one was a dunk.
One of them was the double diaper dunk, according to Max. Right? You needed two diaper changes on that one.
Alongside a guy who wasn't allowed to play defense anymore at that point in the game.
Was he 0 for 8 from 3-point land or 1 for 8?
0 for 8.
It felt like 0 for 8.
0 for.
And then 2 for 4 from the line, I think, right? Oh, he missed a big free throw late.
So Marcus Smart is clearly comfortable without Kyrie, that's for sure.
Marcus Smart almost single-handedly wheeled the Sixers.
The guys you saw a response from, is that because Kyrie wasn't there, or is that because the rotation was different, or the what? What is it?
I just think they match up so well against that team, and like you said, you know it's in their heads that you're just going to go down there, you're going to kick their ass. I think it's a combination of things. Yeah, Kyrie's not there. No big deal. We've seen his team play well without him. They did it last year. That's almost like watching a game from last year, last night. That's what that was. But then you got to try to kind of fit Gordon Hayward into it. You know, you had three guys in the 20s. That was a good game for them. Good game. Good win. Good response. Bigger game tonight because Kyrie didn't travel with the team.
Celtics now 8-2 without Kyrie in the lineup this year.
Does he play tonight? Does he try to play tonight, given the fact that game's at home with the All-Star break right around the corner?
If he wants to play in the All-Star game, he has to play tonight.
He can't play in the All-Star game if he doesn't play tonight. He'll get crushed here.
Which is sort of, again, double-edged sword. Does that mean he's going to try and force himself to play tonight?
Yeah.
It's because he wants to play in the All-Star game?
Unless it was the plan all along that he was going to play tonight and just not going to play last night, back-to-back.
Should he play tonight, or should he not play tonight and also not play in the All-Star game?
I'd rest
because that's what I would do.
Yes,
I would say you're not playing tonight, you're not playing in the All-Star game, you're going to get as much rest as possible because you need to be ready for the second half.
It's
not mathematically the second half, but you know what I mean. You're going to be ready for the back half of this season, the stretch run. And if he plays in that All-Star game and you're a teammate of Kyrie Irving, how do you look at that? How do you look at that and say, oh, he's doing what's right for us, what's right for the team? He's not.
Did you see everybody tweet last night after the game? It's almost like every single member of the Celtics tweeted after that game, like, good team win, way to respond.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward Instagram post before
everybody.
And after.
Jesus. Like, hey, get your phones out. Show them we're a team. Like, they're very aware of what's being said about them.
And that's part of my question on Gordon Hayward. Does he feel the heat a little bit, and he's responded to it?
I hope so.
He's heard the criticism. He's heard people talking about how he's sucked for the whole season and how he's not himself and hasn't really gotten back to it. And as many have said, it's like he's got a case of basketball PTSD. And so maybe he's heard it, and maybe that's him responding to it. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
If he's heard it and he said, you know what, just got to turn it on, and he's able to turn it on last night.
My only argument for Kyrie playing tonight is, and it really doesn't even hold up, because where do they need him more? On the road against the Sixers or at home against the Pistons? They needed him more last night, and they managed to get win without him. Well, presumably, you think at some point the 76ers are going to play like they have Joel Embiid and J.J. Redick.
That team is soft.
And enough guys out there to get the job done, but I agree with you. They're soft. Pistons are not a joke, though.
No.
Andre Drummond has had his way with you before. Griffin is playing well. It would be better to have this win tonight than not, obviously, and Kyrie would help them tonight. But if they didn't need him last night on the road against the Sixers, I'm not sure they need him tonight to beat the Pistons. So if he plays tonight, Beadle, fine, go play in the All-Star game. He has to if he wants to play in the All-Star game. There's no way. He can't sit tonight and then go play in the All-Star
game. Fine, but then I don't want to have happen after the All-Star game. All of a sudden, he's get that knee sprain again, and he's going to need more time off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you will be able to unequivocally say this was all wrong.
I don't think they go again until a week from tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a nice long break for them.
Perfect. Yeah, which means it would have been great for him to not play tonight again and not play in the All-Star game.
Okay.
And have like 2 weeks off.
Right. So knee surgeries last year, you got a sprained knee. Get yourself right. We need you for the stretch run. You're getting paid regardless whether you're here or not next year. This isn't about going out there trying to earn a contract.
This is what annoys me about this. Right now, this is like a good opportunity for them to get him the rest. Like, what a lucky break.
Yeah.
Kyrie's knee acted up right around the All-Star break, where luckily it was the All-Star break, and his team was able to get him a couple of weeks' rest. And instead, we have to sit here and talk about this stupid All-Star game and whether or not this guy wants to play in it. It's moronic.
This is what this league
it's
sucks
dumb.
About. It really does.
It makes no sense whatsoever. And so, if you're a teammate of his, you should be pissed if this guy plays in the All-Star game, because it's all about him. And there's too many me guys on this team already.
Yeah.
You can't be the leader. You can't be the guy that everyone looks up to if you're worried about playing in the All-Star game when you are clearly hurt and dealing with something.
It's
he
like
shouldn't play.
This is the worst part about
it. I can't believe we're like, you know what? It just hit me. Like, why are we even discussing this? This is so stupid that we even have to talk about it. It should be a no-brainer for everybody involved. Don't play in the game. It doesn't matter. It means nothing to anybody. No one cares who wins. No one cares what happens in the game. The only people that give a crap about this game are people like LeBron James, who are going to be there to recruit people to the Lakers for next season.
Yes.
And your shoe contracts and whatever other crap you're promoting, the game doesn't matter. Go do whatever you want at the game, surrounding festivities, hang out with your other NBA friends. Don't play. Useless. It's a useless event. The Celtics should be looking at this as, we caught a break. His knee has been pretty much good. I mean, he's had some scheduled rest this year, and he gets a sprain, and oh, lucky for us, it happened around the break.
Yeah.
So we could get him healthy and get him right. We had that time for him to rest.
He was wincing
right around
good
the break.
Too. He winced pretty good when he tweaked that, man. You can see it right on his face.
Like, they caught a break with this, and now they're going to completely turn it into something that it's harmful. I hate that. I don't know why I'm like, it's just hitting me how stupid that is now. That you have to worry about this if you're the Celtics.
Well,
you can't piss him off, though. You can't tell him he can't play.
Celtics will know that, though.
He's got to arrive at that conclusion on his own. Because, of course, everyone's got to kiss his ass to hope he stays here July 1st.
This isn't a wait-and-see thing come the All-Star break, right? I mean, you know that today.
Annoying.
So you know if he's playing or not tonight, even if he's not playing, it's got to be like, okay, we came together as a team and as an organization, full well knowing he's not playing in the All-Star game. That answer should be no when we talk to Brad Stevens today.
The team's not good enough to really just waste some good breaks the way they happen. Having an injury around the All-Star break, you're lucky if that's when you have the injury. Kyrie Irving is lucky in this regard. The team should be lucky in this regard. But no,
of course not.
Got to worry about whether or not he's going to play in a meaningless All-Star game. He shouldn't play tonight. He shouldn't play in the All-Star game. They should decide that for him.
Lulak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marcus Smart has it. We're down to 25 seconds to go. Smart drives past Ben Simmons.
Oh!
Attacks the paint. Throws it down hard with two hands. And a season of frustration for the Boston Celtics comes off the fingertips of Marcus Smart. Slammed home in Philadelphia to give Boston a four-point lead and 23.9 to go.
Oh, my. That's a two-diaper changer there. Marcus cuffs it, going in towards the rim, and the 76ers right now are stunned. Be devil, be wish, be damned.
I had Granny and Max really feeling it last night in Philly, as they should. Celtics were feeling it too. 112-109, good win. But Philadelphia, what is up with that team? We'll get to more on that. After the game last night, Marcus Morris, who was 7 of 13 last night, helped on the boards, along with Al Horford, bought everybody cheesesteaks.
Good teammate.
Right?
Oh,
you're in Philly?
He'd be my best friend.
Apparently, Marcus Smart didn't put in his order, and therefore he didn't get one.
Well, that's bull crap.
Well, he didn't put in an order.
Well, you don't have to put an order in. You get how many teammates you
got? Well, no, everyone put in an order for what they wanted on the cheesesteak.
Yeah, that's bull crap. You buy enough for everybody. You have three extra. I could eat three of those things.
I'm guessing there were some extras. I'm guessing.
Had to, right? You take care of the equipment staff. You take care of the towel guy.
Now, you say he's a good teammate. Important question there is, where did he order the cheesesteaks from?
Bingo, Pat's. Right? I mean, hopefully Pat's.
That's an important question. So there's that element. We don't know where they came from, but...
Did he get him wit or without?
Oh, you got to get a wit.
Yeah, get a wit.
You got to get a wit.
W-I-T, wit.
So you might say, oh, yeah, nice little story. Cheesesteaks in Philly.
Ha, ha, ha.
Doesn't that just sort of give you a little insight, though, about the level of maybe leadership that Marcus Morris has on this team? You go with his comments on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Where he felt completely comfortable saying what he said. Granted, I'm not sure he had a great game within that game himself, but he says what he says. And last night you get this little story about him. How did he become the leader?
I think there's an awareness. I don't know if it's a leadership thing. I think it may be an awareness that, you know, it's a team. We're floundering. We're struggling right now. We need something. We need to inject this team with something. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to give speeches. I'll air something out publicly. He did that. And maybe I shouldn't have done that, but I feel bad I did it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy cheesesteaks for everybody after a win. A nice little gesture by him. Did you see B-Rob broke down some of the film from Marcus Morris that night when he was calling everybody
out?
Not
good.
Said he was dogging it on defense.
Sort of a rat.
Yeah. So I think maybe he's kind of taking some ownership of it, which is good. I'd like to say this is a
By the way, I didn't hear Marcus Morris exclude himself when he said what he said on Saturday. It did sound like he was complaining about all his teammates.
Yeah. But, I mean, when one person talks and you're complaining, it's usually about others. It's not, you don't really complain about
it. But I just think that's something to keep an eye on. That maybe Marcus Morris, of all the guys they have on this team, is, you know, guys don't get appointed leader.
Yeah.
It just sort of happens,
I know.
Right?
Yeah. It's the ones. It's the Josh Rosens of the world that tell you, I'm the leader. I'm the greatest one. I'm the best one. Those are the ones that aren't the leaders.
So that's like Kyrie. I mean, isn't that Kyrie?
Yes. Yeah,
I'm the leader. I need to talk to LeBron.
I had to call Bron.
He's
right.
Flat out said, I'm the leader of this team.
I know what Bron's going through.
As the leader of this team, he has said that before. He has declared himself leader.
Just go lead. You don't want to hear people say they're a leader.
What's that?
Pedroia.
Thank you. Oh, how many games is he going to play this year?
We'll get to him.
A little
we'll
leader.
We'll get to that. Relax.
I'll take the under.
Zoe would like to talk about every single possible topic today and just mention them all in rapid fire.
Let's do it.
Don't do that.
We're doing Bigfoot.
I just thought that was
an hour of Bigfoot.
I think that was interesting. You know, Marcus Morris. Maybe he's the real leader in that locker room.
I think it's a nice gesture what he did.
Did he play better last night than he did on Saturday night?
Yeah,
I thought he did.
Took some crazy shots early, but hey, he was aggressive, and that guy plays hard. Say what you want, he plays hard.
He still has been their most consistent player this year, which is insane. I mean, we've been saying that for months now. But I thought Morris had a better game. Tatum had a better game. Horford played well. Not so much Marcus Smart, but Gordon Hayward, hello.
Do you think
what a night for him.
Do you think Celtic fans get excited, like the true green teamers get excited that the team plays well and wins without Kyrie? Because ultimately, you know what you need Kyrie for.
8-2 without Kyrie.
I understand
another
that.
Good win last night without him.
Because, like, you watched that last night. That reminds you of the team of last year.
I don't know. Here's Frankie. Right? Frankie in Manchester. Are the Celtics better without Kyrie?
Oh, jeez.
Morning, men.
Morning.
You have to put this into focus, okay? Last year, we were one win away from the finals without Kyrie. Last night, we got a much-needed win without Kyrie. I think we have to start looking at life without Kyrie.
Life without Kyrie. I think you've got to be prepared for life without Kyrie anyway. What if you don't land? If you don't land Anthony Davis, I think he's walking out the door and he's gone. He's leaving. Bye. And when that happens, you're left with the current group.
See, you see Jason Tatum make that.
And
type
by the
of
way,
move
it's still,
last
it's
night,
still not thinking, a
okay,
terrible team.
Let's not trade.
Okay, they're still a good team.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're going to be what Jaylen Brown thinks they are, which is the East goes through Boston, or punch our ticket to the finals. Good, but they're still a good team. They've still got pieces. They've still got young players who can grow into being even better players. That's not a horrible outcome. It's not the desired outcome, but it's not horrible. But I think you've got to be prepared for that either way. Ryan is in Manchester. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, did Kyrie have a nose job last night's schedule? Because I just can't believe the guy hurts his knee and he can't sit on the bench to support his teammates. Same guy that didn't go to the Eastern Conference Game 7 with his teammates. You got to look at it, man. This guy, you know for certain.
Oh, hang on.
Wait a minute.
He sprained his knee.
The game seven thing, though, he ended up having a procedure around that game.
He had a nose job. He could have rescheduled that. That's an elective surgery. He couldn't sit on the bench. Gordon Hayward was there. He look at the doctor. Say he had a deviated septum. He scheduled it for game seven. Couldn't sit on the bench. Why couldn't he sit on the bench last night and support his teammates?
It's a back-to-back. You're playing at home tonight. Yeah, he's got a sprained knee. Let him get the treatment at home instead of getting on an airplane.
Oh, yeah, get the treatment so he can play in the office.
See, now you got an argument for the nose thing. I agree with
Ryan,
that.
Ryan, you're right, though. I mean, if he couldn't make it last night because he didn't want to fly or didn't want to, you know, deal with travel from Boston to Philly, he has no business playing in the All-Star game.
He's all about himself. He's not a leader. Maybe one day he'll achieve what it means to be a leader, but leaking out the conversation with LeBron. leaking. Like, I mean, he's 25 years old, guys. And look at what Tatum did last night. Just shows you exactly what he did in the playoffs against this team. Big games come through. You can't ask more from a 20-year-old. Did you see the move he made?
Yes.
The dunk on those two supposed of all-stars?
Yeah, two of those guys are all-stars, by the way. Yeah, two of those guys are all-stars. He's just completely embarrassed. Yeah.
20. Keep them for the future. Thank you.
All right, Ryan.
Future. How's your future? Hardy's excited for the Detroit game. I can tell. Pumped up.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good game.
Are you going to swing by there tonight?
Yeah. You and Blondie in the box tonight?
I got a couple places I got to go to
tonight.
Where
are you going?
A couple of events tonight.
What you got going on?
Beetle and I got a,
engagement.
A little rock concert to attend.
Shut up.
What?
Yeah, you can't go, though.
You can't go.
You're not allowed there.
All Paradise.
Yeah.
I can't go.
Jim Blossom.
Oh, he's got a shirt on there.
I'll take it off before I go to the show.
By the way, isn't that sort of a bad rule? A terrible rule. Like, that's like, oh, you're going to a Patriots game, but you can't wear your Patriots shirt. You got to wear something else.
It's only for concerts.
It's a weird rule.
You can totally wear that.
It's a weird rule that you don't wear the band that you're going to see or act.
I want to see Def Leppard. They had like Def Leppard t-shirts everywhere.
Right, but that's considered like breaking the concert rules. Really? Like concert etiquette is you don't wear that band's t-shirt to their concert. That's,
no.
You're not cool if you do that.
What if I wear Portnoy's mustache to Paradise with you guys tonight?
Great.
Think they carry me out? Cuff me?
Croucho glasses.
Do you think anyone is working at the Paradise now,
yes.
22 years later,
yes.
That was working there then?
Yes.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't go then.
I think I'm more recognizable now.
You are.
Well, you're more recognizable.
Your profile is much bigger now than it was then.
The question is, your picture still up by the door? Doesn't really have to be.
No.
Was there anybody working there then?
We only had four drinks.
I would say yes.
We only had four drinks.
And the story is out there.
Max in the truck on a good Celtics win last night. What's up, Max?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Phil?
What's up?
So,
is this Max Lane?
The game was... No, it isn't. I didn't get to see the game last night because I was out plowing, but I was listening to it on the radio. I think it was a good win. I think they can build off of it. And what do you guys think about Marcus Morris's brother?
Yes, interesting. If you can't hear Max because he's all muffled,
yeah.
What he's asking about is Markieff Morris in a potential pickup for the Celtics. I want to get up Marcus Morris's tweet. If I could get that from, give me 1 second,
yeah.
I'll read it to you. He tweeted out, when did he do this? A couple days ago. He said, damn, I wish we was getting Keith Morris, because when he come back, it's going to get real crazy. Motivated and ready, I'm calling it now. So, he wants him. He wants Markieff Morris. He wants his brother here.
Sure does.
And if he's a leader, do you want these two together? I mean,
seems like a little bit of crazy.
Well, we
right?
sort of know their history of,
if you could bottle crazy,
assault, things of that nature.
Everybody likes salt on stuff.
You want to see a couple of leaders? Don't step out of line. Don't bleep up, right, Artie?
See, don't F up in here.
Don't F up in here.
See,
because there will always be the threat of one of the Morris twins kicking your ass.
It's got a Rasheed Wallace feel to it, you know?
I think they're more valuable playing on different teams, especially if one team, like the Wizards, doesn't make the playoffs.
So what are you saying? Negates the two on the same? Would negate sort of?
I'm saying something happens injury-wise to Marcus Morris.
The old switcheroo.
Oh, he's got a miraculous turnaround. He's ready to go tonight. They've done it. They have talked about doing it. It was either high school or college. I said, sure. Of course we did. We look exactly alike. Why do you think they have the exact same tattoos and everything else? The opportunity presents itself. Would you do that, Zoe?
Yeah.
Of course I would.
I don't think they look exactly alike, though.
Now, I've never seen them standing next to each other.
Are they more twins. Are they almost as alike as the McCourty twins?
There are some pictures. Oh, yeah.
Because they're in the same category.
I still could be in the same room with Devin and Jason, and I got to do a head shake, double look.
You know? Oh, I just read something at the Super Bowl that said actually when they're standing next to each other, it's easy to tell them
apart.
Well,
it's the cheekbones. Yeah. But, I mean, you stand next to them or sideways?
I'll tell you,
though,
there are times when they have the full beard in some of their photos
right.
where it's much harder when they have the facial hair to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Same tattoos and everything.
Mm-hmm.
All in the same spots.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You've got a point there, Hardy.
Keep them separate.
He's more valuable to keep them separate.
That's right.
They start messing with the coach and everything. Coach doesn't need this right now.
Yeah, let Markieff go play for the Nets or something.
going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
The numbers really are sort of alarming for Gordon Hayward when he plays with Kyrie and without him. I told you already, the Celtics without Kyrie this year are 8-2. 8-2 in the 10 games he hasn't played. The team is 7-2 when they don't have Kyrie and they have Gordon Hayward. So pretty much the same type of record. This season, Gordon Hayward, you look at his stats for the season, he's averaging about 11 points and 3 assists a game. With Kyrie on the floor, because that includes every game, that drops down to 7.8 points a game. So then you want to get the stats. What is Gordon Hayward, though, when it comes to playing games without Kyrie Irving on the floor? His season averages 17.5 points a night, 4 assists per game. He's had games of 35-5, 26 points, 16-8-11, nearly a triple-double. 13-7, 18-5, 18-5, and then another game, 16-8-11, nearing a triple-double in that game, too.
That's not like where you have one rogue sampling of, like, you know, a game or two. That's pretty steady.
No.
It's pretty consistent, I mean, like, across the board.
Those are seven games with pretty noticeable statistics and statistical nights for Gordon Hayward that were good. He's better when Kyrie doesn't play. There's enough of a sample there to point to and say, is he better with or without him on the floor? Gordon Hayward has been a better player this year without Kyrie Irving on the floor. And those are just facts. That's not even like an opinion. I'm just stating the statistical evidence that there's something to the mix or the rotation that is better without Kyrie in it.
If you're Brad Stevens, doesn't it admit when you sit there and, you know, Brad's a big, you know, analytics guy. He
looks
at numbers.
No sense,
that's
gotta by
make
the way,
him pull his hair
other
out,
than,
you know?
The ball is not distributed as well. It's not moved as well when Kyrie's on the floor, because he is by far their most talented player. I will never debate that with you.
See, I mean, but what
Kyrie Irving is their best player, and I think they got to do everything possible to keep him. I'm not saying get rid of him. I'm just saying there are things that still need to be figured out and worked out with him here.
It's almost like you need more of a facilitator, a guy that's going to pass like a Rondo, a so-called drinkster, to have that type of a lineup.
Or,
you know?
Or Terry Rozier when he's not looking for a contract.
Yeah. Those are real numbers.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Blair in Maine. Blair, what do you got for us on this?
Hey, so if Kyrie can just sit out for the All-Star game and rest up for the playoffs, because we really need him for the playoffs, not for the All-Star game, not for tonight. We really need him for the playoffs. And for the championship game after the playoffs, but we really, really need him for the playoffs.
What the hell's your point?
Playoffs. You need him for the stretch run into the playoffs. That is what's important. You know, games that matter and actually mean something and are actually about winning.
Oh, he's Paulie to call in now.
Winning. It's like college football. The championship game after the playoff.
Right.
At the playoffs, then you get the championship game.
Right. Derek is in Worcester. Hi, Derek.
Hello?
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
I'm just peachy. So I have a request from you.
Yep.
Back in 2001, when the Pats won the Super Bowl,
right.
Mr. Kraft hired Ozzie to come in to play Crazy Train.
Yep. Okay.
Do you think you can talk to him about getting the outfield in?
Yeah. We've sort of efforted this before, and there's an issue with one of the members.
Yeah.
Did he die or something?
Is he dead? I think he's
Hardy actually talked to the outfield.
He was dead? Missing a guy?
One of the guys, I think the bass player had died. So they don't do shows anymore.
They don't do it anymore.
No, sorry. I talked to their quick manager. Okay. But the guy who like manages stuff for them still a little bit stateside.
It's because of the bass player?
It's been explored.
They don't play live because of the bass player?
Well, he's their guy.
Jim.
I don't know, Jim. It's a weird thing, Jim. Today's Jim's day.
What would you be in our band?
Good show
what would
having.
You be in our band?
You were so concerned prior to the start of the
in
show.
In the band of this show.
You guys would quit if I died, right?
Zoe would.
I'd quit.
Zoe would absolutely quit. If you didn't produce this show anymore, Zoe would not go on.
Something tells me you guys would continue to work and collect
paychecks.
Yeah,
I'd still work.
I'd be fine.
Jim, I'm a grinder.
But this show, as
we know
it.
That's actually a great comparison, Hardy. I'm a grinder. You guys would move along without me.
You're Kyrie Irving. We don't, you know, like, we think we're better with Jim. Might be better without Jim.
Oh, you want to try that out?
No.
I'll tell you what. I don't want to try that out for you.
Toucher and Rich wanted to trade. One day when we were at the other place, at the other building, Fred came in and saw our whole show planned out and the notes and everything. And I was like, well, who did this? I'm like, well, Jim did it along with Feldman at the time when Feldman was there. And then Tom took over and he goes, calls Adolfo. He says, come here, look at this. Look at this.
Oh, good luck there.
You're full-time, son. They wanted to trade Jim for Adolfo for 4 days.
Yeah, no shot.
That's what we do today.
And it wasn't the basses. It was the guitar player, John Spinks. He died in 2014.
It's like the Shaughnessy Award.
They haven't done their thing without him.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was, when did it become a thing? Let's see. I'm trying to remember when we got them to do the
They started playing it in 2014.
Okay, and we got them to do the ID for
that playoff run.
That playoff run that culminated in the Super Bowl that was played in 2015. You know, it was raw.
Do you think it was just a little too raw? And now
revisit?
And now might be worth another phone call.
All right, I'll
maybe they've replaced him.
Home opener.
Maybe they've had enough time to grieve the loss of Spinks. And they're able to move on now. Yeah. They've got a new guy playing guitar.
Maybe Metallica did.
Maybe they move didn't on, have his, dude. They didn't have his replacement lined up yet.
All right, so let's approach the question again now. Let's say Jim dies 15 minutes from now.
Okay.
Chokes on a granola.
Jim almost died on the way home yesterday. It took him 3 hours to get home.
Nah, that's not that. Let's really say that he dies today within the
hour. Chokes on the protein bar. Got it.
Right? How long before Zoe comes back to radio and does a show. Tomorrow you come back and say, "Oh, that you know, this was awful."
I need a couple weeks, some more T-Bone
puts together a couple of montages of you know.
I mean, the sound effects.
Or we just play back his birthday one and be done with it.
Right.
Sound effects would be better.
Right. How long before you're ready to go back on the air?
Probably about three. I need about 3 weeks to grieve Jim.
It's not as long as I thought.
I thought you'd say 3 months.
I thought you'd say 3 years. I'll be back in 3 years, you know.
Yeah.
3 weeks.
Depends on how close he is to when it happens, you know.
Depends how it happens,
He's too. In the same room and if it's sees like, it. He's a witness. Bears
if it's something tragic.
He bears witness to that tragedy.
You know, we're getting closer to like Bruins playoffs. Yeah. You know.
Josie's on a vacation. So will be. Hi, this is Tony Lewis from the outfield. So many. Thanks for showing the love for your love all season long.
I
just want to
use your. I mean, that song was dead.
Dead.
Now it's played in every freaking stadium.
Yeah.
I'm not talking Boston. We're sitting there watching a random college game.
And on every radio station.
Is it pretty amazing
every station
what we've done with that Love and Roll with that. The Changes? Roll with the Change. Nobody paid any attention to Roll with the Changes.
They played on NBC bump back music. Like weird stuff. Sunday Night Football. It was weird. Like, what the hell? They would do good numbers. We're popular. We're on simulcast now. People see stuff. Like, oh, that sounds pretty good. We'll use that. Yeah.
617-779-0985. When you get back to your Celtics thoughts, also a mention of the Bruins.
Hey.
I saw more Bruins than Celtics last night.
Oh, why was that?
The cable issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They got to send somebody out. Get up, you know. Check the wires and
get a
stuff.
Bad wire.
I spent a lot of time on the phone trying to get it resolved.
Like a real phone, like or your cell phone or like house phone.
House phone.
Wow.
Wired phone, wired cable for Beetle, right?
Look at that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, the phone is through the cable company.
Well, while Jim's completely lives off the grid.
My stream was good last night.
But exactly, this is why I have the. This is why I'm not going to do what Jim does.
Right.
Right. Like all you children out there are doing now. Everyone in their 20, all the millennials are, you know, they're buying all these streaming TV services. No, I like the convenience and the reliability of just turning on the TV.
Yeah.
And but then when that doesn't happen, then you start to reconsider all of it.
Me too. You start
to reconsider all of it when my cable, the picture won't come in on certain stations, including TNT last night. And Jim's there boasting about his streaming. And I'm like, look at me. Look at me, big dummy.
Rapido's trying to watch it like the old scrambled channels back in the day.
Oh, so bad.
Watch it through the lines.
I hate when young guys brag about their strong streams. You know, that's just
not the worst.
It's unfair.
Meanwhile, I got a dribble of the game on TNT last night.
You know what I love doing last
what
night?
What good
like
is
five,
that?
5, 6 o'clock
like
laughing.
Like 3 or 4 times during the night. Just
This is why I'll never get rid of cable, too, because during these snowstorms that never become snowstorms, you get to sit there and laugh at certain networks blowing this thing up like it's Snowmageddon. And others just treat it as a dusting. And some people like Channel 4 nail it each and every time, like Eric Fisher.
What?
Yeah. You get to make fun of some of the other local TV stations. Can't do that when you stream.
Right.
Or when you're off the grid. Okay. So I need the local channels. All
right. I get the local channels.
Yeah, you get the local channels now on those packages.
Shut up, Jim. Try to make a point.
There he is bragging about his stream again.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
10 seconds left in this one. The Boston Bruins are going to sweep the season series against the Chicago Blackhawks. As they scrum for the puck in the near corner, the horn is going to sound. David Krejci with 2 goals, Brad Marchand a 4-point night, and Bruce Cassidy collects his 100th career coaching win as a member of the Boston Bruins, and the Bruins will head west after a 6-3 victory over the Blackhawks.
Bruins game last night, though.
No.
Not even a highlight.
How about these conflicts? How many conflicts now? Bruins-Celtics, 45? 45 this year?
Yeah, it's in the low 40s.
That's crazy.
It's a lot.
I never remember it being that way.
They're all playing on the same nights.
No kidding. It's not like you pick one over the other, but you get stuck on one. I'm not a flipper.
If you try to watch both, you can't watch one, though.
It's hard.
Yeah, you don't watch either.
I'm terrible at watching two things at one time.
Yeah.
I used to try and do the dual screens. Like, you think that's going to be better?
Like, you heard
that,
me yesterday.
That makes it worse for me.
Yeah. You heard
it's
me yesterday.
It's better for me to flip between two games and focus for periods of time on each.
I was more excited.
It's baseball. Baseball you can watch with something else.
Well, baseball you can basically just have on in the background all the time.
I was excited yesterday to watch Celtics. I thought that was a big spot for them. And the dislike for Philly and Philly's attitude. You just know it's a soft team. You just want to see them pound them last night. I thought they were going to roll last night.
Our buddy Jake DeBrusk finally ended his drought. Put the Bruins up 4-1 in that game. Danton Heinen does not suck.
Cassidy, second fastest coach in history, Bruins history, to 100 wins.
That's pretty damn good.
He's a good coach.
Yeah.
I think everybody recognizes that.
I like how blunt he is.
Yeah, I think he's underrated in this town, though.
Give it time.
I'm not sure he gets enough credit. But, well, I get it. I mean, he hasn't won anything.
Right.
Isn't gone deep into the playoffs. Isn't gone on a deep run yet.
But which coach has done more with less?
For what he's had to work with, I think he's done a damn good job.
You know what I mean? Red Sox are always maxed out and just go over the salary cap or go over the spending, and they have no problems paying any fees, any fines, by eclipsing that. Patriots are always to the cap. You know, those two teams are always sort of loaded. Brad Stevens is looked at as a coach that gets the team to play more above their heads than what they are. But now you got Kyrie Irving, throw him into the mix with Hayward. Now people are starting to question Stevens a little bit. You know, give Cassidy some time here, and he'll be right up there with him.
Well, I think that the young guys sort of chipped in a big way last night, making up for the loss of David Pastrnak. And the more I think about that, the more aggravating that really is. So needless, so senseless.
Yeah, I heard Felger and Mass more. They were really, getting into it. You know, the description of what, Donnie Sweeney and, how the presser went.
Yeah, I heard.
How descriptive. And
I heard Big Jim
say. It's just like throwing it in their lap like, hey, just so everybody's clear, this kid freaking fell coming out of a team-sanctioned dinner. That's how pissed we are.
Yeah, I heard Big Jim talking about that. And I thought he was so right when he said, listen to the things he said. And, Jim, we have it. If we want to play it again. If you didn't hear this yesterday, he pretty much laid it out there as much as a team is going to lay it out there in 2019, right? Because teams
normally you protect the player,
even in hockey,
not a lot of detail
where they're all truthful and they all just say what they feel and say what they're thinking, and it all just sort of you know, they just lay it all out there on the line because they're all, you know, very nice Canadians. They're all honest people. And so they just put it out there yesterday in a way that makes you think that they're not happy about it. And you know what? They shouldn't be happy about it. That means they've got the right view of it like the rest of us do. Have a listen.
As you could probably see, David Pastrnak was out on the ice this morning. David actually was undergoing a procedure on his left thumb. Dr. Matt Liebman performed the procedure. The repair was successful. David will be out of the lineup for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll be reevaluated where we will likely have a more definitive timeline as to when he'll return to play. After the game on Sunday, David and several of his teammates attended a sponsorship dinner. At about 11:30, David reported to me, as he said, he reported to me at about 11:30, as some of his teammates were walking to meet their transportation location, he simply fell and injured his thumb. He met with the medical staff yesterday morning early, and the doctors, they called me. And really, it was pretty apparent that he needed to have something done right away, which they did. And it's as simple as that.
Wow. Just hearing it again, yeah. When he said he simply fell. Yep. Almost as if to say.
The ability to walk and
you know, it sounded like he slipped on a patch of ice.
Yep. Didn't hit his head on a door.
Yep.
Didn't get shoved from behind.
He didn't trip down a flight of stairs. He just simply fell walking. Why would a very athletic young guy like that just simply fall?
You ever been to those team sanctioned dinners?
And the fact that it's a team dinner with several of his teammates. Yeah. He's just telling you, read between the lines, he went out and got hammered.
Throwing him back. We've been to the here come these salespeople.
And that's what
now.
I think. Is that not what everybody thinks when they hear that? Like, oh, he went out and got wasted. Right.
There's Dan Halpern. He's showing people around. He's one of our head sales guys. He's always taking people out to get hammered.
Like they went out, they got drunk as a team, and he fell. Simply fell with no good reason to fall other than he put himself in a condition to fall down. And he got hurt doing it. Mm. I mean, that's pretty much telling you everything there is to need to know there.
David couldn't handle his liquor. Seemed to lose his balance while his other teammates functioned well, walking to their rides.
Six drinks too many.
To their transportation point.
That's it. That's simply it. We'll reevaluate in 2 weeks.
Jesus. Not good.
No, and the team is, it sounds like the team's pissed about it.
Yeah, because they don't have a ton of scores up there. I mean, it's one of the guys that were starting to light it up that you can depend upon. High-end type talent.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they were 27th in the NHL in even strength 5-on-5 goals. I didn't know that. I was not aware of that statistic. So, yeah, he's a big part. I mean, David Pastrnak is a huge part of what that team is offensively. And you can make the argument that despite their record, despite what they are, which is going to the playoffs for, I think, a lock, yeah, he's a big part of what they are and what they've been. It's just so ridiculous that he put them in this spot.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.